This special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3. This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on into Pink Smoke, folks. We got an action-packed show for episode number 9 coming up tonight. We're going to go through what happened in that CONCACAF round 1 of the Elite 8. The first leg of the Elite 8 against LAFC. Folks, it didn't go the way of Inter Miami. Inter Miami suffered their first loss of the season with a 1-0 loss. And then they played MLS matchup number 6 and they lost to Toronto FC, they tied Toronto FC, with me spreading false information. 1-1, they tied Toronto FC. And we're going to go through the highlights of that. My good buddy Damian Perez is behind the glass here at the City Place Studios. We will hear from Damian in just a second, but I did want to talk a little bit about that matchup quickly before we get into the highlights of LAFC. Now, I don't want to say Inter that this was a long time coming for Inter Miami, but folks, they didn't lose all year. They haven't lost a game all year, and it stinks that it came in this matchup. It stinks that it came in the CONCACAF, right? You know, on I don't want to say you could afford a couple of losses within the MLS, but this is certainly a cup where you look at it and you have a hard time kind of stomaching a loss here. Because if you're Inter Miami and you're an Inter Miami fan, you want to win this domestic cup. You want to win every single cup that you are in. And you got a long time to go within the MLS. Like we're playing games, folks, in the MLS until October. We're playing games well into football season. So you wish that first loss could have came within the MLS and not the CONCACAF round of 8. But Damian Perez, as I mentioned, is in the City Place Studios with me tonight on Pink Smoke. And Damian, this was a matchup where last Wednesday nothing really went the Inter Miami Herons' way.
No, absolutely not. And it was kind of like we were flying, because going into the game, we hadn't tasted defeat. That was the first game we lost this season. So it was a sensation where I don't think we were going undefeated all season. You know, something had to give. If there was a game we were to lose, I'd rather not lose in CONCACAF Champions. But it's only 1-0. You know, it's not insurmountable. And we get to play tonight in the Chase Stadium. So I know we have the away goal factor, and the priority tonight will be not to allow a goal, because that can really complicate things.
Right.
But yeah, man, the game overall, I left a sour taste in my mouth, because I believe that the person that scored the goal shouldn't have even been on the field.
Right. And there was controversy on whether a red card should have been awarded to, I believe, the young El Salvadorian that plays for LAFC, the striker who scored, and he scored, to Damian's point, he scored the lone goal in the matchup. That is Nathan Ordaz, the 21-year-old El Salvadorian. And Javier Mascherano had some strong words in his post-game press conference on the Spanish side of things. He basically said, in many words, kid shouldn't even been out on the field. And I kind of agree with them. It was one of those calls where it could have went one way, it could have went the other way. It was a 50-50 call. I think LAFC was always getting that call on their home pitch, personally.
The thing about it, though, and what the part that really... Inter Miami has been a victim of those calls, you know? Like, the red cards that we've had to Toto Aviles and Ustari have been calls that they're red cards because of the rule, because of what the law says. They weren't necessary fouls that were that warranted a red card, you know? The instant against Inter Miami, against LAFC, you know, it was aggression. The ball wasn't near. And like he said, in China, in the moon, anywhere, that's a red card.
Right.
By the letter of the law, which we've been a victim of many times this season.
And Ustari, I think it was a red card personally. You leave your lines like that. And
it's last man. It's always a red. Like the ref's hands are tied.
No matter what. That's always a card. But the Ivy Lace one, I agree. It could have went either way. I thought a red card, especially in that situation, was really harsh early in the game. Damien, you played 20 minutes and you had a questionable tackle like that and you're going to award a red card. I thought that was a bit harsh. But certainly if you're in Miami, you have every gripe in the world asking why that kid is on the pitch. Now, different competitions maybe, right? That's in the MLS. This is in the CONCACAF. So I understand that argument too. But nonetheless, LAFC currently up in this matchup 1-0. And again, Damien Perez, explain for fans and me, because I still have a hard time comprehending the aggregate rules. I still think of the world soccer aggregate rules where if you score goals, it goes towards the aggregate and that's that. But it's a different rule in CONCACAF.
The easiest way to think of it is it's the tiebreaker. So if the game does end in a tie, let's say, for example, it's a 1-0 score. So let's say 2-2, right? The game tonight, technically, it will be a 2-1 game, but global score 2-2. So we got that tie. So now we look at who has the away goal, and that's the difference. It's basically like the in the NBA, points four.
I see. The
tiebreaker.
The team who scores on the road gets the go-ahead.
In case of a tie.
So we need to score first tonight. The Herons need to score first tonight. If they don't score first, they're technically 3 goals down.
Correct.
Because if they tie it, LAFC has the aggregate because
correct.
They have the away goal.
We would need to win 3-2 because 2-2,
correct.
LAFC advances.
And Inter-Miami did not score on the road. So there are the rules for tonight's game, folks, if you were wondering. And actually, someone who was at the game is going to be joining the show. Our good buddy Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio. You probably know him from Around the Horn as well, a longtime panelist on Around the Horn. We'll be joining Peak Smoke tonight coming up at 6:20. So we're going to have a lot of fun with our good buddy Clinton Yates, who is live on site watching that game between LAFC and Inter Miami. Now, Damien, he's a world soccer guy too, so I want to pick his brain a little bit on Champions League and stuff like that. Bro, I heard Clinton talking Champions League on ESPN Radio, ESPN National. He immediately became my hero.
That's bold.
He immediately became my hero when he started talking Champions League soccer. So we're going to talk a lot of soccer and have a lot of fun with our good buddy Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends, as I said, and he is a panelist on Around the Horn. You know, I grew up watching Around the Horn, so I know Clinton very, very well from that show, but it's going to be good to talk to him on the show coming up tonight. And then we're going to talk to my good buddy Dave Denholm, who I love dearly. Dave, a fellow Clevelander like me, but he is the play-by-play man for LAFC with ESPN LA, our sister station. Damien, I got dinner on the line. Did you hear this bet?
Friendly bet?
Yeah, I got dinner on the line, and I think I'm going to lose, mate.
So is that dinner, would you have to fly over to
no,
LA?
No, I would just send him the Imperial credits through the intergalactic, through the banking clan of the intergalactic.
And I feel like that's a lose-lose for you because everything in LA is more expensive.
I know.
So even if hey, he Dave, were to win, he would get the, I guess, the shorter end of the stick.
Hey, Dame, don't remind me. Don't remind me.
But it doesn't matter.
West Palm, it's still expensive.
You know,
out here.
Mike, you're not going to have to worry about this.
Are you sure?
Inter Miami's going to win tonight.
You're positive on that.
100%.
I don't know, man. They're in a rut right now. This rut couldn't come at a worse time right now for our Herons.
Now, for your bet,
go ahead.
Let's say Inter Miami wins 1-0. It's tie global, but technically they won the game. Is it who advances? Or is it who wins tonight?
Two advances.
Okay.
Two advances. If Inter-Miami ties it, now for everyone at home and a bozo like Mike Rizzo, who really doesn't understand CONCACAF rules because it's a confusing tournament, explain that to me.
We got extra time. If Inter-Miami wins this game 1-0, we're going to aggregate. And after aggregate, we're going to PKs.
Okay. All right. So it is, we do have PKs tonight. Okay. Got it. It's not, if it's 1-1, it's not just ending. It is Champions League.
There's extra time.
It is Champions League in that sense. So yep. I like that. All right, but we'll talk to Clinton about that matchup, that 1-0 game that he saw. He loves Messi. He's a big Messi guy. We'll pick his brain on that. But Damien, I quickly want to get into a lot of things here because we got two guests, which means we got to make up some time with our good friends at Audi and at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. But I quickly wanted to go through the highlights of the Toronto FC matchup. We'll play the goals. So actually, we'll play the offside goal. Damien, first off, let me get something off my chest before. My God, Inter Miami should have won this game 4-1. They should have won this matchup 4-1. They just could not score.
Yeah.
They could, and when they did score, they were offsides. And apparently it was a penalty on the offside goal for Messi. Let's get into the offside goal for Messi to start things off. This was in the first half.
Sends it to the border for Frey. Oh, what a footwork for Messi. And he turns and he scored with a left foot from just inside the top of the box. Messi, unbelievable control and an even more world-class finish. That is absolute highlight reel. Just when you think he can't do anything more, he does. What an artist. Lionel Messi, third straight MLS match with a goal. 1-0 Inter Miami. He's the greatest.
Now, that was ruled offside or
what a
penalty?
Great call.
It was
great.
A penalty. Oh, yeah. Our good buddy Ken Levick is the absolute best. Shout out, my guy. But it was a penalty. They called a penalty on that. And they washed the goal. Let's listen to the for real goal, though. This was to put Inter Miami up 1-0.
Segovia, your right foot to the top of the box. Messi. He does score with a left foot. He punched it up into the air off of his right, and he finished with his left. There's the goal he so richly deserves. Lionel Messi is on the board. Struck it past a sprawling Johnson. Lionel Messi fights off the frustration, finds the glory. We're equal at one.
So I apologize. That was the equalizer. Because if we remember, in the first half, Toronto went off bar twice. Toronto goes off bar twice in that first half, and then they ultimately end up getting in, and it was in the... Both of these goals happened 3 minutes beside each other. So the goal by Berdandeski happened for Toronto FC, 45 plus two extra time, and then the Messi goal came 45 plus five. So I was a little off on that, and I knew I was the moment I started listening to the highlight. Dame, this was such a back-and-forth first half between off-bar chances and goals, and then we don't necessarily have the time to play the second-half highlights, so I'll just give you the spark notes. I mean, Luis Suarez had a direct chance on goal. He fell on his back, and he missed.
Suarez definitely lost sleep that night.
Oh, God. Abando had a chance. One of the worst touches I saw all year, Damian, and he's 18 years old.
That's the nerves. That
exactly.
Was the nerves.
He's 18 years old. We'll give him a chance on that. And then even Toronto FC had chances to get in. But realistically, I thought Inter Miami could have won this game 4-1. It was a questionable washing of a goal with Lionel Messi in that first half. Suarez had about, like you said, he was losing sleep. Suarez could have had a hat trick. He turned out not to have any goals. And then certainly Toronto had a few chances, but not nearly the amount of chances that Inter Miami did. Damian, this was a bad result. I got to be honest.
It was.
It was a very bad result for Inter Miami. Toronto, bottom half of the Eastern Conference, had 2 points heading into the fixture. Unacceptable.
It was a bad result because taking the game midweek into account, you know, we didn't really see a lot of rotation in that game.
Right.
Mascherano sent everybody out. He really wanted to win that game. And all the games in the MLS, you know, you can kind of weather the MLS, you know, be in the playoff position. But part of that is winning your home games. So like you said, a home game against a bottom half opponent, one that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they were going into that game tied with the worst record in the league. So, and the fact that, like I said, no rotations, everybody kind of played. Messi played 90, Suarez played about 60, 70 minutes. So it's obvious Mascherano wanted the 3 points in that game. We had many opportunities, and we didn't get it.
Dame, it is time, though, to hit the Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrad injury report. As I said, we are going to be talking to Clinton Yates here in just a few moments. Let's hit the injury report.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrad.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Folks, that is foryourrights.com, our good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. 35 years they've been representing injured people and their families. Visit foryourrights.com. Going into the matchup tonight, the second leg, we have an hour and 45 minutes until kickoff. David Ruiz, Hector Martinez, and Tadio Allende are the only ones appearing on that injury report for Inter Miami. We saw Marcelo Wigan get back into the lineup and into the game. against Toronto. And then on the Los Angeles side, you got Jeremy Abuisi and Lorenzo Delavalle. So that is your injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. They've been serving injured people and representing injured people for more than 35 years. Visit fouryearrights.com. Now, Damien, it's time to head around the MLS with our good friends at Audi.
Now, it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Folks, that is AudiOffers.com to learn more. And you hear me say, pull into that lot at Chase Stadium and make a statement with the brand new Q6 e-tron. Test drive one today at your local South Florida Audi dealers. So Inter Miami, after that draw against Toronto, they are in second place on that MLS table. The Columbus Crew are in first place. And the Crew, by the way, get this, Damien. Inter Miami is going to be facing the Crew in the MLS next week, and it's going to be at Cleveland Brown Stadium in my backyard in Cleveland. So
wow, that's the Messi effect.
Yeah, it's going to be a big matchup coming up, Inter Miami and Columbus. Philadelphia in third, Charlotte in fourth, and FC Cincinnati in fifth. Moving on to the Western Conference, you got Vancouver, San Diego, Minnesota, Austin, and Portland at the top. How about Vancouver, man? They continue to impress. 16 points on that table. They won their most recent fixture against Austin FC. Austin, a team to be reckoned with. They won three games in a row heading into that matchup, but ultimately, the Colorado Rapids is who Vancouver beat. They play Austin this week. I apologize, folks. So Vancouver defeated the Rapids. They play FC Austin this week. That's a battle of the top four coming up in the Western Conference. Going to be a fun one. Damien, the LA Galaxy continue to just free fall. They've lost two matchups, two fixtures in a row. They lost to Real Salt Lake in their most recent, and they lost to Orlando FC two games ago. They had the Houston Dynamo, who are coming off of a win. They are coming off of a win, against LAFC 1-0.
Big win.
Yeah, and Jack McGlynn, United States men national team player, was the difference in that with a wonder goal. If you guys remember, we had Glenn Davis, my good buddy, on the program, the play-by-play man for the Houston Dynamo. And he was waxing poetically.
Good for McGlynn, because he didn't have the best start to the season.
Yeah, so and to Damian's point, young USA player, I like to back my own. It's my squad, United States men's national team. But that was around the MLS, presented by our good friends at Audi. Folks, test drive that brand new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealers. They're the official sponsor of Around the MLS. We're going to take a timeout, folks, because on the flip side of things, we're going to be talking to Clinton Yates, the host of Clinton and Friends on ESPN Radio. And you can listen to him right here on ESPN West Palm Beach from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every single day. And he is a panelist on Around the Horn. He was live at the Lionel Messi game, the Inter Miami game, and LAFC game in LA for the CONCACAF Round of 8 game, where LAFC was victorious 1-0. We're coming right back with Clinton on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks, to Pink Smoke. Once again, we are powered here by Audi. Test drive that brand new Q6 e-tron. And folks, you hear me talk about it all the time. Make a statement with that brand new Q6 e-tron and whip into that lot in style with the Q6 e-tron today. Test drive one at your local South Florida Audi dealers. It is now time to go to the hotline here on Pink Smoke and bring in Clinton Yates, who is nice enough to give us some time here on Pink Smoke tonight. You can hear Clinton right here on ESPN West Palm, 10 a.m. to noon every single day. And he is a panelist on Around the Horn. And first off, Clinton, welcome on in. And I feel like I already know you, partner, because you were a staple in my college house on Around the Horn back in 2016 at OU and Ohio State. So welcome on in, and thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. I got my son in my lap. He's 5 months old, so if you hear him whimpering, that's what you got.
Well, he's already cracking the mic at a young age, so he's ahead of a lot of us already now, Clinton.
Very well.
But, partner, yeah. You were at that LAFC Inter Miami matchup, and obviously things didn't go according to plan for our Inter Miami Herons. But yeah. Talk how it was seeing Messi live in person, partner.
It was pretty cool. You know, I've seen him in an exhibition fashion before. When he played for Barca, when the ICC used to come to town back when I lived in D.C., they played at where the Commanders play football. And we went just kind of on like a, just going to see it. We couldn't believe he was in the building. That was kind of a completely different era. You know, but now with the way that Inter runs their operation, you know, you never really know what he's going to play. And so the idea that he was going to be on the field brought out a lot of different people. I was covering the game. Pretty much every local media was there, and everybody I knew from the soccer world in L.A. found a way to show up. And, you know, what was cool about seeing him there was I think that his star power really rose to the level of meeting the moment for Los Angeles. You know, we get sort of a lot of that out here, but right. It doesn't necessarily mean that the people are worthy of it. And, you know, just seeing, I brought my binoculars because I was like, there's no way I'm not going full Messi cam the entire time, which is pretty much what I did. So we can get into sort of how that first and second half went in terms of scoring chances and stuff. But, like, yeah, it was every bit as cool as I think people thought it was going to be because he really carries himself that way, you know, and it's hard to know what that looks like until you've seen it. I'd seen it from a distance before, but I got to see it a little bit further up close this time.
Quinton Yates from Quinton and Friends, and also you could see him on Around a Horn as a panelist, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, you mentioned the Messi effect that it has on L.A., and Quinton, me being a hometowner from Cleveland, partner, they're playing that MLS game between the Columbus Crew at Cleveland Browns Stadium. So if you can, just talk about the effect that he is having around the states, because unless you're a complete maniac like me who follows every single soccer match worldwide, Messi even clicks with the average fan, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're inventing tournaments for this guy to play. Leagues Cup was not a thing, basically, until he showed up. And respectfully, CONCACAF Champions Cup still isn't really kind of a thing. But, I mean, you know, it's still a competition, and it's still necessarily the top flight for the club. And I think that alone indicates to you what the impact is. Not to mention, they played that game at 8:30 local on a Wednesday. In L.A., that is an 11:30 start where you guys are. I did not understand that whatsoever. But CONCACAF, I guess, knew. People are going to watch. That's just how it goes. And so I think for Lionel, it's really fascinating because when he first came, you know, all the excitement that happened weren't even MLS matches, you know? Like I said, they were tournament matches from other things, and people didn't care. They didn't even realize what they were looking at. And so that's one of these interesting factors about him. He's got ownership stake in the actual broadcast product. You know, what that means for the league down the line is going to be a different match. Matter. But yeah, like I said, if you can get people to show up at 8:30 midweek PM for a first kick, I mean, you've really got something going in LA because people do not do that whatsoever.
Clinton, I was brewing a coffee at 10:30 at night and I was trying to explain to my friends why, you know, hey, I'm going to be up until about 3 a.m. watching a soccer match. But that's the effect he has. And to get the crowd that he got in LA, I think is something too. Now, partner, were you surprised of the result that happened at LAFC? Because I certainly was. I that was the worst game. Now, Clinton, going into that game, they did not lose. They drew against NYCFC in their first MLS fixture because they were playing with 10 men after Toto Aviles picked up the card. But I was very surprised about how Messi and company kind of played in that game.
Well, I think they just kind of overdid it in the offensive third. They were trying to get too cute. Luis Suarez was pissing me off, excuse my French, because he kept trying to dummy everything to himself as opposed to just playing the ball straight up to feet. And it was like, yo, Luisito, can you just play the game? It kind of felt like they were playing for the crowd a little bit. And, you know, that's understandable. Before the game, a lot of fans and supporters were down on the pink end of the field watching Messi warm up, watching guys hit you know, free kicks and stuff like that. And so by the time the first half started, there were plenty of chances that I thought were half chances that could have been full chances that turned into flat out turnovers that eventually they were the chances they needed to win that match. So I thought LAFC did a good job of pressuring and making sure that they weren't, you know, sort of psyched out. But I really honestly think Inter Miami outplayed themselves for no real reason in that match. And it showed, and it didn't need to happen.
Yep. And that was, you know, LAFC hits you on the counter, and they're all right without the ball. While Inter Miami is a team that loves to have the ball, they love getting Messi in space. It seemed like a pretty good matchup as far as, you know, what Inter Miami wanted to do. Now, partner, did you think the Ordaz play was a red card? Because that was a big controversy after the game. Javier Mascherano, the gaffer for Inter Miami, came out and said that's a red card in China and every other country. He was very upset about it. But Ordaz, obviously the guy who scored the go-ahead goal to give the win. Do you think that was a red card on the play in the first half?
I didn't at first sight. At second sight, I did. But I also understand Mascherano defending the situation. I mean, look, the bottom line is that referee decision's a referee decision. If you put yourself in a position for that to happen, you know, you're going to get a 50-50 chance either way. I am not also the type that gets super angry at what I consider to be relatively quick reds. You know, sometimes the referee has a decision to make. And if that's what happens, that's what happens. And that's kind of the speed of the game kind of thing, that you win some, you lose some. That's why you actually play them out. So it didn't bother me a ton, even though looking at it again, I was like, oof, maybe perhaps a bit harsh. But at the same time, you know, look, it happens, man. That's, you know, you some go some your way, some don't. But I thought Javi expressed himself well. In terms of his displeasure,
right? And I guarantee you, if that same play happens in Miami tonight, it will be a red. I think home field kind of had something to do with it as well, Clinton.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would say so, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. To be quite honest, there's a lot of human nature that goes into officiating games of all sports, especially in soccer, one that's so intimate in terms of how guys interact.
Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends and Around the Horn is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Clinton, I know you're a world football fan. I want to pick your brain on that in just a second, but let's quickly talk about this matchup tonight. So to open up the curtain a little bit, as they say, I have a bet with my good buddy Dave Denholm, who is the play-by-play announcer for LA.
Yeah,
good friend, good friend of show, Clinton, and I have a bet with him. We're going to be talking to him in about 20 minutes here. I'm worried. Clinton, I got to be honest, I'm worried that Inter Miami is going to squander this opportunity in CONCACAF tonight.
Well, I mean, listen, it's an opportunity, but, I mean, LAFC is a worthy squad. We're not talking about some bum sauce MLS team that has no idea how to win a tournament here and there. I mean, listen, I understand that you're rooting for the home team in some regard, but Toronto knows what he's doing. You know what I mean?
And
that's kind of the whole thing with LAFC, is that they're never really that outclassed. Hold on, Keanu. They're never really that outclassed when it comes to them being on the pitch. And I think they proved that in the last leg. Now, is travel going to be a factor? Does being at home hopefully help? Sure. But I don't think that they're going to try to get with the same level of tiki-taka that they were operating in the first game, that being Inter FC. I think you're going to see a lot more straight on going for goal and a lot more attempts to get shots directly on net, as opposed to trying to fake everybody out and make sure that you can prove that you're better at your feet than another team. That they don't have time for that anymore. And they know that.
They need to score first, too, because the CONCACAF aggregate rules are ridiculous. Clinton, would you agree with this?
I mean, they're ridiculous, but everybody plays by the same ones. And I think that in this particular case, it probably actually helps the strategy of Inter Miami as well, because, like you said, you need to score first even in this thing. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, why not? You're going to have to do it anyway. Might as well take advantage of it.
Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends and Around the Horn is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Now, Clinton, you immediately became my hero for a couple of reasons. As I said, we watched you in college at OU and Ohio State, but at the same time, I was driving into work here in the beautiful City Place Studios in ESPN West Palm Beach, and I was listening to Clinton and Friends. And partner, you were talking Champions League soccer, and I immediately, I was texting the boys. I said, he's immediately my favorite host now. Quinn, open that up for us. What are you a fan of an international club? Where does that where does that come from?
I went to an international school growing up. I was one of the few actual Americans that went to my school. I didn't even play organized soccer until I was 15. I played baseball, I played basketball, I played, other stuff. And by the time I got into that age, I mean, all my guys who were my homies, they were all really good players. And they were like, dude, just come out for the high school team, bro. You're faster than everybody in the conference. You can figure it out. And so then I started growing with the game. And this is right when MLS literally started. DC United was brand new to the city. They played at RFK, where I watched the football team play. So that was how I sort of got indoctrinated into the club game. And I was always a national team fan, because that's just what we did.
Right.
You know, and I don't mean national team as in the U.S. men's national team. I mean all national teams. The Euros, the Copa Americas, and all of that. That was sort of what my biggest draw to the game was. And so yesterday was just a situation where one of my buddies, who actually went to my high school, but years later, he was in town. He was like, dude, we're going to the bar to watch Champions League. And I was like, all right. And it turned out, because that's what I used to do. There was a time in my life where I was at the bar every Saturday morning watching Liverpool, because my best friend growing up from England was a Liverpool fan. And those days are kind of over for me now.
Right.
But I still I still love the game. In terms of being out, and that day yesterday was, fantastic. Are you kidding me? Declan, two crackers, worldies from out. I mean, that was the kind of thing that you don't see, even if you're looking for the rest of your life. And we just happened to decide we were going to make a day of it. And I really thought it was a fantastic moment. And I know that all of the Three Lions fans are thinking to themselves, why can't he do this for us? But hey, I mean, if you're a Gooner, that was just really quite a remarkable moment. I think he showed well. That was a fun match, and they deserve to win that, no doubt about it.
I agree, and Declan Rice in elite company as far as scoring two free kick goals in the Champions League. And Clinton, you know, there were trolls out there, and you know, certainly after the game, players to have two free kick goals in the game. Declan Rice 1, Kylian Mbappe 0. So the Gooner fans certainly were very happy after that fixture. I gotta let you know too, Quinn. I'm a huge Manchester United fan. 2006, 2007, when I was in about seventh grade, really started following the team. Fell in love with Ronaldo, Rooney, and that. And I've followed every single season very closely. They're an absolute mess right now. Partner, they're a mess. Oh, yeah. They're a mess. I hope Amorim can figure that out. I hope they give him a chance to figure it out. Bad signing after bad signing, but I'm hoping my Red Devils get back to relevance here sooner than later. And honest to God, being down here in West Palm Beach with the Club World Cup coming up, I'm sick to my stomach that they're not coming over because they're not good enough.
Well, listen, if you align yourself with the New York Yankees, as some people think that they have, I mean, let's not forget, when the old man died, the squad's not the same. And when Sir Alex left, the club was never the same either. And that's just the reality. I mean, you got to see, you're just young enough that people have talked about things that you haven't seen that were probably better than what you have seen, which is unfortunate because it was all right there on video. I'm old enough to remember those glory days even as a non-fan, and I'm like, oh, buddy, you're in a tough spot because I don't know if it's turning around anytime soon based on the glory days. You just can't relive certain things because the game has changed, the economics have changed, and quite frankly, the players have changed. And so, you know, there's so much soccer being played now that it's easier to be a fan, but it is harder for one team to be good because honestly, they're playing too much. If we're being very real about this, you talk about Club World Cup, Champions League Cup, all of these other things, League Cup, there's way too much soccer being played, and I think that's actually affecting the quality of the game on the world level as far as clubs are concerned.
I agree, and Rodri, the central defensive midfielder, had the same exact take, Quinton, and I remember, you know, radio stations I listen to, like overseas, talk sports. I mean, he broke the media when he came out and said that they play too much, so certainly a topic of conversation there. Quinton Yates from Quinton and Friends and the Round the Horn is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Quinton, I'm a huge United States men's national team fan, huge Italy fan as well with my Italian and Sicilian roots, but want to talk a little U.S. men's national team with you. Pochettino. I mean, is Pochettino, I joke around with my buddies. It's either one or two things. He's here to try to win and get back on the world stage, or he's just trying to, you know, book his retirement home at Malibu. Because I don't know what to think and what to do with this team. I'm sick of hearing, it was always about the 2022 World Cup. Oh, well, Riz, it was always about Copa America. Oh, Riz, it's always about 2026. This is the golden era, Clinton, and they're ruining it right now.
Well, I don't know about that. That's what I'm getting at, man. I think people are going to have a more realistic look about what this player pool actually means. I covered that game here in L.A. with when they played against Panama, and Pochettino was just looking at everybody like, what am I supposed to say? These guys think that rolling out the balls and wearing this shirt is going to win you a soccer match. It's not. And there's a lot of discussion to be had about the sort of internal systems of how the Federation picks their players, but ultimately, it has to be understood. It is entirely possible that the way the system works now between pay-to-play and all this other nonsense, the United States is best. Is simply not good enough. And that's just the reality that we're going to have to live with because the way that these guys are assembled, they're not playing for the same sort of heart and compassion because they don't have to in order to make it to the same stages. I mean, and God bless a lot of these guys that play overseas, your McKinney's and so on and so forth, but they've got the exposure. They're not fighting it the same way that a Landon Donovan was or even a Tim Howard was when he was playing at, you know, in England or whatever. And so it's just a different thing. It's sort of the, I don't want to say the AAUification of it, but there's an element of that. And so when you filter that up to the U.S. men's national team and you talk about the golden age, is it really that golden if they can't come together to play as a team? All of these individual accomplishments and all these things in Europe are great and all, but ultimately the reputation and the actual skill set the U.S. men's national team had was to never quit. And that is something that doesn't work if you never actually get started, which is what it feels like right now in terms of the different players you're going to get. What Pochettino does from a man management standpoint and what he does regarding who he selects is another matter. But I think a lot of U.S. men's national team fans need to be real that unless you get a soft group as the actual host nation, it is entirely possible you don't make it out of the group stage because every other nation in CONCACAF has gotten better, never mind around the world. And that's okay. Maybe right. that's the reality check that this program needs to understand that, again, just being an American does not mean that you are by default better. And that is a huge, huge issue that I think they deal with still and always have, in the last generation or so.
And I agree, Quinn. And my friends joke around me. They go, Riz, you're the problem because you keep calling them the golden generation and keep telling them how great they are. Yeah, it's what they tell me. They go, Riz, these kids keep hearing how great they are. Well, that's why you're losing to Panama. That's why Tim Weah is getting red cards. And that's why you're not getting the results. Now, Quinton, last thing here before I let you go. And, partner, I appreciate all the time. Once again, Clinton Yates.
Okay.
Clinton Yates from Clinton.
I'm not crying, so we're okay.
we're all good. But Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends and Around the Horn is our guest here on Pink Smoke. I want you to talk a little bit about your radio show, Quinton, because, you know, so many young college students come up to me. And they go, How could I differentiate myself? And I think you're the perfect example of that. You're a writer, you're a TV guy, you're a radio guy. Talk a little bit about how, how the radio show is going, rather that, and how it is doing a radio show every single day on the national level.
Well, number one, I think the thing that makes it hard for people to understand is that it's not just a matter of showing up, cracking a mic, and running your mouth. I listen to tons of radio shows. I have for decades. I watch a ton of TV. I have for decades. I read a lot. I have for decades. All of those things made me better at each one of the crafts. So by the time it came time for me to do this, which is quite frankly a dream come true, Riz, I was ready to go. And I don't mean to say that in terms of who I am being so great. I mean to say that in terms of preparation of formatics. I mean to say that in terms of the ability to get in and out of questions, your resets, your getting the breaks and all that. That stuff matters. And, like, it's easy to make it sound natural if you know what you're doing and the average listener doesn't know. But if you're paying attention to that kind of stuff, young journalists, young broadcasters, young radiophiles, make sure you know how you would do it in case you get into that position. That is half the battle. And secondarily, from a personality standpoint, I say this all the time. Be yourself,
right?
Because nobody can do that better than you. This idea of acting like you're trying to project some sort of image or you've got to be the guy that does this or the lady that does that, that will never work because it will fall apart when tested. And I've seen that happen to so many different people. They think that they want to be the expert on this or the expert on that. If you're not an expert, don't be an expert. If you want to be an expert, do the damn work. You know what I'm saying? And that's where a lot of people falter. They try to get that in between and shortcut, and they don't understand that even just the basics of talking through one segment require enough train of thought, enough ability to know what's coming next, what came before, and what you want to get to. It's not as easy as it looks or as it sounds. And I say all that to say that means it's doable. Not everybody who comes out of the womb is some guaranteed TV star. I never even wanted to be on TV. It just happened to work out that way after a certain amount of years doing radio and the rest. And thankfully now it's something I can do professionally. And I'm proud to be able to say that I can communicate well, even if I'm wrong half the time, because that's not really the point. The point for me is to be able to get out my point of view as I know it and reported it and feel true to myself. And ultimately, that's why it's fun, you know?
Quinton, you're the best, partner. We appreciate you and love you down here in West Palm Beach. Come visit us soon. I know you're on the whole opposite side of the country. But partner, come visit us. I promise you it's nice down here in West Palm Beach, all right?
I believe you. It's probably not as nice as Venice Beach, but I will make an
attempt
know. If I can.
You know what? My Damian Perez, my producer's ears just perched. I'm willing to go toe for toe, so we'll compare.
Bro, I saw Mike Tomlin sweating his face off at the Breakers, all right? That was a problem.
Hey, you might be onto something there. Quinton, quickly, your final thoughts on the game tonight. What's this final going to be?
I think we're looking at a situation where LAFC scores first, but I think that'll light a fire under both Messi. And I haven't seen a lot of it. Is everybody playing? Suarez is playing as well?
So usually an hour before the game, and Clinton, honest to God, from someone who does play-by-play and does the pregame, halftime, postgame for them, you will not know until about 30, 25 minutes until the game.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I think Suarez is going to get on the board. I think he knows that he was jerking his whole offense around, and he's going to try to figure out a way to make sure he gets it, because the guy's still a great goal scorer as far as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? He comes up with clutch goals. Uruguayo, loved him for a long time.
Quinton, thanks so much, partner. Take care of that son, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, partner?
All right. No problem, Riz. Good job, Keanu. You did it. All right. See y'all later.
Yeah, thanks, Quinton. Bye. That was Clinton Yates from Clinton and Friends and Around the Horn. We appreciate its time. We got to take a timeout. I'm late for our good buddy Dave Denholm right here on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks. Pink Smoke right here on ESPN 106.3, presented by PNC Bank. And at PNC Bank, folks, they could be more excited to serve the South Florida community, but you may be wondering, isn't PNC that boring bank? Depends, folks. Is starting a business boring or being the first person in your family to go to college? For 160 years, they've done the hard and, yes, occasionally boring work of banking to deliver brilliant results for their clients. That's why they have decided to put dedicated teams throughout the local area here in South Florida all ready to do the boring work to help you unlock your own brilliance. See what boring banking could do for you or their good friends at PNC. And, folks, I always tell you the story. Didn't have a dime to my name down at Ohio State and Ohio University. God bless my grandmother. She would put money in the PNC account. It is now time to welcome in our good friend Dave Denholm, who has been patiently waiting for us here on Pink Smoke. Dave is the play-by-play announcer for LAFC. He was on the call for last week's debacle, if you're an Inter-Miami fan, in LA. Dave, first off, partner, how the heck are you? Thanks for joining. And what the hell happened in LA last week?
Doing good, Mike. Oh, boy, it was a great game. It was just a tremendous performance defensively, especially by LAFC. It was a good match, though. I mean, I think both teams certainly had their moments and, you know, nowhere near over. We know we have a long 90 minutes to go tonight at Chase Stadium. So it's going to be a good one, no doubt about it. This is a great series between two great teams.
So, Dave, you're not already picking out your favorite dinner spot tonight?
No, I'm hopeful.
I'm feeling good. To let everybody know who wasn't listening last week, my good buddy Dave, we bet dinner. We bet dinner. And, you know, if Inter-Miami isn't able to figure it out, and, you know, Dave, I'm a little upset with Inter-Miami with their last two games. It's how spoiled we are out here in South Florida, I guess. But if Inter-Miami can't find a way to advance tonight, I will owe Dave some dinner and vice versa if Inter-Miami wins. So, Dave, talk a little bit about what, you know, you told me the plan, and, you know, I got to give you your flowers. I mean, you hit it to a T with what LAFC was trying to do in that game. Let Inter have the ball, and they're going to hit him on the counter. It kind of worked to perfection if you're an LAFC fan.
Yeah, a lot of fans around the league kind of have picked up on the kind of thinking that LAFC is like the PNC Bank of MLS. A little boring, but that's not true. It's like PNC Bank, right?
Yes.
You know, it's not true. It's how LAFC wants to play at times, depending on the opponent, of course. And LAFC have had more of the ball against a few opponents this season and have taken advantage of that. But right now, especially in the run like a CONCACAF Champions Cup, Michael, you know, with two legs, you don't want to get blown out in the first leg. And certainly neither team did or were going to the way the game was going. But you just want to be, you know, keep yourself in it. It's halftime. And, you know, LAFC have a 1-0 lead, but they know the job is not done. We all know that. I mean, against a guy like Lionel Messi and against, of course, a team as loaded as Inter-Miami, this is going to be a harrowing 90 minutes. I'm already nervous. You know, I'm nervous for a lot of reasons before matches. Some of it's like I want, you know, LAFC to win. A lot of it is like you're getting up for a broadcast. You're ready. You know, you get the butterflies going, which I think is a good thing. But I'm like freaking out about this one. You know, like it's getting down to crunch time here. You know, I got a pregame a half hour before the match coming up, and we're almost there, and I just can't wait. You know, I am just fired up for this. Two really good teams. I don't expect much different in terms of the look of the match. Maybe Inter-Miami even a little more on the front foot, getting forward offensively, and maybe that'll open them up a little bit. But they got to take those chances, Michael. They need a goal, obviously. You didn't score in L.A., and with the away goal rules, you know, you need a goal. Now, certainly, you can't give up an early one either. That would put them behind the eight ball, but I really think this game's going to be a little more wide open in the second half. I thought it might get that way last week, and it kind of did, honestly. It was still a little more of a leg one last week. You know, I think this one, first half, you might be a little bit tight. Second half, you could really see some things opening up here tonight.
Dave Denholm, ESPN play-by-play man for LAFC and our sister station, ESPN LA, out in Los Angeles, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Dave, I think it's critical that Inter-Miami scores that first goal because of the aggregate rules. I mean, if LAFC gets a goal at first on the road, you know how those CONCACAF rules are, I think it could be a little dicey. I think you're going to see Inter-Miami flying all over the pitch to begin the game. Would you agree with this?
Yeah, I definitely think they'll have the momentum. They'll have the crowd, of course. They'll want to get that early goal, really put the pressure back onto LAFC. You get an early goal if you're Inter-Miami. And I mean, all the pressure's back on the visitors to try to score, of course. Now, if they get that goal, as you said, you've outlined, Inter-Miami need three if LAFC gets one, right? So that, you know, certainly would open up the match if LAFC were to somehow get an early goal. Look out. I mean, all bets are off. It's going to be
the Wild West
potentially. But I do think that, yes, they're going to come out flying. And I think LAFC will be ready for that, though, you know, and be more defensive to begin the match. So I feel like you're right about that. I think LAFC is capable defensively of handling that, though. I mean, they had a great defensive game against Inter Miami at BMO. Now, whether you can do that on the road, of course, against a great team, is still the test ahead of them, Michael. But we are capable. There's no doubt. But so is Inter Miami of scoring four or five goals tonight, too. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, this could go a number of ways.
Dave, do you think LAFC is, you know, don't broke what's, you know, what's not, or excuse me, don't fix what's broken, right? Do you think they come out with that same game plan, or do you think they might switch some things up here, being up 1-0 with a road game in the CONCACAF?
I don't think you're going to see crazy switch. You know, there might be some moments. I think Steve Cherundolo, the manager of LAFC, in his press conference, kind of build up to the match, you know, he kind of alluded to, like, and I'm not quoting here, but
right,
you're not going to defend for 90 minutes. Like, you can't defend for, you know, Inter Miami for 90 minutes with a 1-0 lead and hope you're going to get through that way. That's just not going to work. So they're going to take their, you know, they're going to take their chances. But again, it's how do you go about that, Michael? Do you open yourself up too much to get forward with six or seven guys on any given? No, probably not. You know, you're going to have to rely on Daniel Bouwanga. You're going to have to rely on what we saw out of Nathan Ordaz and maybe in the first leg. And I haven't officially gotten the lineups yet, though. So you're going to have to rely on those guys up front, maybe to beat a couple of defenders, you know, 1v2 and, you know, 2v3, 2v4 even, because I don't think LAFC is going to play, you know, unless it's necessary, but especially early first half, they're not going to be sending 7-8 guys up the pitch, blazing down the field, trying to get a goal. I don't see that in terms of right out of the gate in this match.
Dave Denholm, the play-by-play announcer for ESPN LA and LAFC, our sister station out there in LA, is our guest here on Pink Smoke. Dave, first off, I appreciate you joining us. I know you got a pregame show here coming up soon, so I appreciate all the time. Give me your final thoughts. I know you're an LAFC guy at heart. I have a feeling where you're probably going to go here on the scoreline. But give me the final call here when we hear the final whistle at Chase Stadium coming up in Miami.
I really believe LAFC is going to pull this off. Not because, you know, I'm a guy who shoots it straight. Is it possible Inter Miami fools me and destroys? Yes, of course. They could crush LAFC tonight and vice versa. So it's like, absolutely, Inter Miami, you know, is alive and well into this second leg. But I think the 1-0 was a real warning shot, and I think LAFC is going to pull this off. I really do. They're playing great in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They've had their struggles in MLS, Michael, much more than Inter Miami has, certainly.
Right.
You know, but we've really focused on this tournament, and I'm not. That's not to say we haven't, you know, looked at, you know, to win MLS games. I'm not trying to denigrate any opponents. They've done a great job against us in league play. But I really feel like this team believes they can win this whole thing. And, you know, this, to me, and again, no disrespect to anybody else, this is certainly maybe the toughest test you're going to face in this tournament if you play Inter Miami.
Absolutely.
I think they're the top team in CONCACAF.
And with Monterrey out of the tournament as well, I certainly would agree
Club
with
America bowing out. I mean, that was huge. So, you know, nothing, you know, I love Club León. They're a good team, and they certainly can, you know, can beat anyone in this thing, but Club America had to be considered the favorite. But now with that, it's Inter Miami's to lose on some level, although they do have a mountain to climb tonight.
Dave, thanks so much, partner. Have a great call on the game, and we'll catch up with you later. And hey, listen, partner, you let me know. I'm doom and gloom right now with how this Inter Miami team has been playing. Just let me know where you want dinner, all right?
I can taste that Reuben sandwich already with those things. Oh. I'm halfway there, Michael. Oh, man. Anytime, brother. Always good to talk to you.
Appreciate it, Dave. As I said, have a good call. That was Dave Denholm, our good buddy from ESPN LA. He is on the call tonight, and he is the play-by-play man for LAFC. As I said, we're their good friends at ESPN LA. Folks, PNC, you heard me talk about them. I mean, PNC Bank, folks, they pride themselves on being boring. But the truth is, they couldn't be more excited to serve the South Florida community for nearly 160 years. They quietly toiled away to deliver brilliant results for their equally brilliant clients. Now, their dedicated financial teams are ready to do the boring work to help you unlock your own brilliance. Let's see what boring banking can do for you. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC. And thank God for PNC Bank back at the Ohio University days when I didn't have two pennies to rub together and my grandma Carol would bail me out. Folks, you hear that music? That means it's time for me to go. There's a lot of thank yous on tonight's program. First off, thank you to Clinton Yates. You can hear Clinton Yates on Clinton and Friends 10 a.m. To 12 p.m. right here on ESPN West Palm Beach. ESPN National Show, and we carry our good buddy Clinton Yates with Clinton and Friends 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. You could also see him featured on Around the Horn. Thank you to Dave Denham, who we just heard. Dave Denham is the play-by-play announcer for ESPN LA and LAFC, our sister station out there in LA. We appreciate our good buddy Dave Denham. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of him stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Great job to my good buddy Damian Perez. Always a blast when he is here in studio on Pink Smoke. Damian, 10 seconds quickly. Final result tonight.
Inter Miami 2-0.
I'll go with that as well. We'll catch up with you guys later. Bye.